Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Republic House of Representatives call. Today is Tuesday, February 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. Tonight we have one new representative to swear firm in tonight, which will be Diane Skillings from Minnesota. So we welcome her. And then we're going to continue with the reading of the Declaration of Sovereign Intent, starting on the middle of page 7, or Article 6, and going to the end, where the signatures are of this document, so that's good. I'm going to stop the recording at the end of each article and have discussion for all, including how the 50 laws of life apply to the DSI and throughout the Bible, with Dr. Fred Mosey's commentary, with discussion as the Holy Spirit leads us as well. And after that, we can have discussion on the DSI document and as a whole, and then open discussion as we usually do. But before we get started with roll call and swearing affirming in a new representative and the DSI, would someone like to open us up in prayer? Would someone like to open us up in prayer? All right, I could do that. Father of Lights, thank you for the many truths being revealed to us in this time of spiritual illumination and testing. Truths like, 1, this nation was founded on Christian principles. 2, a republic obeys the law of nature and nature's God. 3, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, on and on. So thank you, Father, for a nation that has such a rich heritage of freedoms and originally liberty. Help us to carry out the process of re-inhabiting our republic for the future posterity of this nation under God, with liberty and justice for all people. So Father, give us wisdom to represent the people of this land as the Bible and organic constitution shows us how to do. Be with us, our military, our family, and our friends, as we have a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, and as we go forth to proclaim liberty throughout this land. So Father, strengthen us to stand and stay standing. Give us people and provisions to be able to carry out our work and provide for our families. In Yeshua, our Savior's name, we pray. God save the children, God save the Republic, God save America, Canada, and descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel and the land of Jerusalem. So thank you, Father, and amen.
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 All right. Awesome. Representative Schmidt, do you have your oath paper in front of you, sir?
Yes, I do. But maybe you can... I do have it in front of me, so...
Okay.
Now, first, if you're like our new representative, to give a little, say a few things about yourself first before
do
a little introduction first. Okay, go ahead.
So, Mr. Representative Skillings, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? Give us a little overview.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself so the House can get to know you a little bit better?
Okay. Certainly. My name is Diane Webb Skillings. I live in basically the middle of Minnesota. I was fortunate enough to become aware of the Republic shortly after I lost an election here in Minnesota in the primary to a career politician of 12 years by 35 votes. So I lost that position, and then I found the Republic, and here I am to serve in a much better capacity than that would have been. I'm born and raised in Minnesota, lived here all my life. Are there any other specific questions?
Oh, no. Just if you want to tell us a little bit about your patriot walk, unless you've already done so, that'd be fine.
Well, I can kind of go over, when I read Volume 2, some of the people that were mentioned in Volume 2 that I had already been associated with, which include Judicial Watch, Patriot Street Fighter. I actually got to meet Scott McKay 2 years ago in Nashville for the what was the name of the conference? Awaken America conference. Kim Clement, I was aware of him before this. Sheriff Mack, I also got to meet, and that was here recently, within the last year and a half, and that my association with Sheriff Mack goes back even further than that. Billy Graham was mentioned in Volume 2. I actually got to see Billy Graham live when I was a teenager at one of the local high schools. So he was a big part of my life, even, you know, for a long time. And then the reference also to Ellen White, because I too have been a Sabbath keeper for almost 20 years. So that was a really exciting fit for me too. There's a little bit about an association of who I am and why I feel I'm comfortable here.
Yep, very good. Thank you so much for that. Do anybody in Congress have any questions for Representative Skillings?
And it's Webb Skillings.
Okay, Webb Skillings.
Yes, please.
The floor is open.
Good evening, everyone.
Hello. Well, if no questions, then Representative Schmidt, would you please do the honors?
Sure. First, do you prefer swear or affirm?
Affirm, please.
Okay,
and
thank you.
Your name again?
I am Representative David Schmidt from the Wisconsin Free State. And
David
just
Schmidt.
So you know, I live in Osceola, which is right on the Minnesota border, St. Croix River.
Okay.
That's where I live. And I've been in the Republic. I've been serving in Republic House since May of 2011.
Oh, well, you're just a wealth of information then.
Yeah, well, the only thing is I've been awake for over 30 years.
Okay.
So I basically, myself, I went through 16 years of in the Patriot Movement before the Windwalker Ranch, you know, where they had put together the DSI. So I've been in the Patriot Movement 16 years before that even happened.
Okay,
so
okay.
It's been a very long road. It's been a very long road for me. So, okay, well, we'll get to the oath here. Okay, I, then state your name.
I, Diane Webb Skillings.
Do solemnly swear.
I'm going to affirm,
sorry.
I was going to go right over it.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
You know, I'm beginning to believe that you don't, haven't really been here that long.
Okay, well,
me.
I looked at the sheet of paper wrong. That's why.
Do you solemnly swear? Let's go back. Or do you solemnly affirm? Let's go back to that.
Okay, well, let's just start all over. Okay, and then state your name.
I, Diane Webb Skillings.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Congratulations. Welcome to the House of Representatives.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
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 Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
And just so you know, the Constitution you swore an oath to was the Constitution, the only Constitution there was in 1859, which is where the House of Rules came from. So there was no choice back then. So it's the organic Constitution.
18, what was the year you said?
1859, that's the House Rules Manual. That's where that came from. Yeah.
Very good.
All right. So let's take roll call so we can get started here. All right. Representative Schmidt, are you present?
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
Thank you. Representative Cox, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Robin Cox from the North Dakota Free State is present.
Thank you. Representative Blanton, are you present?
Representative Blanton, Free State of Colorado, present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Markbinder from the Free State of Iowa is present. Representative Reed, are you present, sir? Representative Jordan, are you present? Representative Sowell, are you present?
Representative Sowell from North Carolina Free State, present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Marshall, are you present? She said she might not make it tonight. Representative Hatcher, are you present, sir? Representative Leith, are you present? Representative Arnold Leith, are you present? All right. Representative Jones, are you present? Representative Holliday, are you present, ma'am? All right. Representative Alsop, are you present? She said she might not be able to make it too, so. Representative Ankey, are you present?
And Representative Akey from the Ohio Free State is present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Rosallo, are you present?
Representative Rosa Rosillo from the Free State of Maryland, present.
Thank you. Representative McCartney, are you present? Or McCarty, sorry. All right. Representative Knowlton, are you present?
Representative Scott Knowlton from the Free State of Massachusetts is present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Strong, are you present?
Representative Shannon Strong of Free State of Connecticut is present.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Representative Costello, are you present?
Representative Ann Costello from the Free State of Arizona is present.
Thank you. And Representative Gonzalez from New Mexico, are you present, ma'am? All right. Representative Neville, are you present, ma'am? Representative Brenda Neville, are you present? Okay. Representative Pitzer, are you present? Representative Rahm, are you present? Representative Brenner, are you present?
I am.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am. Representative Swigler, are you present in California?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Representative Brohart from Illinois, are you present, sir? All right. And Representative Skillings, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Webb Skillings from Minnesota Free State is present.
All right. Very good. Thank you. So we've got, it's like 13 representatives. I'll count that again, 13 representatives tonight. So we'll look for others. Did I miss anybody? Is anybody here that I haven't called their name? Okay. Well, I'd like to turn the floor over for a little bit to Dr. Mosley and give him a little introduction here first. He's author of several books, including The 50 Laws of Life, that lists those laws and how they applied in the Bible then and today. And he has a show on Brighteon TV entitled The Laws of Life Court TV, and a website as well, along with Justice Ministries International. His website is www.lawsoflifecourttv.com. And so, Justice, or Dr. Mosley, would you like to give a little bit of a preview of the laws of life before we get started with our teaching, sir?
Well, thank you, Representative Binder. We define a law of life as being an absolute divine truth that governs the consequences of our actions, that everything we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life either in a positive or in a negative way. Now, your question might be, how do these laws of life apply to the declaration of sovereign intent? Well, we mentioned just previously that there's a law of life embedded in every aspect of life. And those laws of life come to us, I suggest, by way of revelation, by and through and from the Spirit of God. So what we've been doing over these last several sessions is to read from the Declaration and to draw from it those laws of life that are embedded therein. And I'm going to ask this question early on. Can anyone who is in their respective homes tonight think of anything in their households that are not governed or controlled by a natural, physical, and or a spiritual law? I'll pause for a minute to see if there's anyone who can give us some idea of anything other than what we just mentioned that would cause one to think that these laws of life or these laws of life are not absolute and that they do not apply to every aspect of life. Any thoughts, any questions in that regard? Again, the question is whether or not anyone in their respective homes can think of anything that's not governed by a natural, physical, and or a spiritual law. And I'm not surprised that the room is silent because everything is governed by a natural, physical, and or a spiritual law. Now, we've given a number of examples over the weeks with respect to natural and physical laws. We talked about the law of distance. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. That's not sometimes, all times, or most times, but at all times. Then we made mention also to the fact that 32 degrees Fahrenheit automatically turns to ice. It does not matter where you are on planet Earth. Once the water reaches 32 degrees Fahrenheit, it's going to turn to ice. H2O is always going to give you what? It's always going to give you water. There are numerous natural and physical laws we can point out that we adhere to on a regular basis that are absolute. But God uses those things we can see to help us to better understand the things that we cannot see. Certainly all of us are familiar with the law of gravity. I find it interesting that we do not refer to gravity as a principle of gravity because we understand that it is an absolute. So these laws of life, we find them in the natural, we find them in the physical, but we also, and more importantly, we find them active in the spirit realm. And they apply to every document. They apply to the Declaration of Independence. They apply to the United States Constitution. They apply to the United States Bill of Rights. And they apply to the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. So what we're endeavoring to do is to show how we can go to that document, which we are doing now, and glean from it those laws of life that are embedded therein. And this is what we're endeavoring to cause you to be familiar with these laws of life to the extent that you can do as we refer to him as our speaker, although he reminds us that he's the representative. But what he and I have been doing over these last several weeks is to listen to the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. And as we listen, we draw from it those laws of life that are embedded therein. I also should mention at this point, in our everyday lives, everything that we do and everything that we say activates one or more of these laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. That being said, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to continue to refer to this and speak with us. That's what I'm accustomed to. But before going any further, if you want to share some of the declaration where we stopped off the last occasion, it would be invited and appreciated at this time. Thank you much.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right, we're going to start with Article 6 of the DSI. It's on page 7. You want to follow along electronically? Here we go.
We, the Congress of the Republic for the United States of America, assembled in the presence of the Almighty Creator, do hereby accept and adopt the current United States military as our military force. This includes, but not limited to, all branches of the military, such as the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and all reserve officers. Congress will work closely with the current Joint Chiefs of Staff to secure protection of our borders and defense against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The President is duly authorized by Congress to be the Commander-in-Chief for the military forces. All orders given to the military leaders by the President will be lawful orders with full authority and consent by Congress. No officer or soldier will be held, charged, or punished for a crime when carrying out a lawful order of the President. Congress will appropriate bills as necessary to fund all lawful functions and projects of the military as needed. It is the intent of the Republic to return to a policy in peace with other nations while building a strong national defense.
All right, that is Article 6 there. Dr. Mosley, would you like to expound on the laws of life for Article 6, please?
Well, immediately actually two or three laws of life that can be referenced. Of course, the law of authority is there. All authority is from God, and God designates authority to those whom he chooses. And here we're dealing with the military, and we have the law of accountability and responsibility that comes into play. We also have the law of delegability and non-delegability. There are some duties and responsibilities that can be delegated. There's some that cannot be delegated. But going back to the law of accountability and responsibility for a moment, every one of us, according to the Word of God, must give an account of himself to God. So there are several laws of life that are embedded in what has already been added to us. And there are several others that perhaps are duplicated in other sections that we go forth. But I'm just going to make reference to those two or three. Also, as you mentioned earlier, we just want prayerfully for you to come, those congresspeople who are here this evening, for you to come to a point that as the Representative Binder and I can recognize these laws of life and how they apply to various situations, we want you to likewise be able to do the same. And it's not confined to the Declaration of Sovereign Intent, but to any and all and every aspect of your life, because as we pointed out, there are laws of life that are there. But again, the law of accountability and responsibility, the law of delegability and non-delegability, and always in every aspect of life, the law of the spirit of life and the law of sin and death are at work. I yield.
Yes, sir. And I also believe the law of notice and warning just goes pretty much throughout the DSI and the Proclamation of Claim and Interest.
And, absolutely.
I think also when you're stating these things in a document, I think also the law of authority, to take authority over the corporation at the proper time, I think that is also applicable. Anybody else like to talk about the laws of life for that Article 6? Floor is open. All right. Let's proceed to Article 7 then.
We, the Congress of the Republic for the United States of America, assembled in the presence of the Almighty Creator, do hereby accept and adopt the name of our Republic as the Republic for the United States of America. This name will be used in reference to our Republic in all documents and communication from this day forward, so as to differentiate our Republic from the United States Corporation. In all of our written or verbal communication, when using the words Republic or America, it is understood that this will be a reference to the Republic for the United States of America and has no attachment in any way to the corporate United States government.
All right. That was a pretty short one there, but it was necessary. Well, Dr. Mosley, would you like to expound on that for the laws of life, sir?
Well, there's one that comes to mind immediately, the law of contamination. Because the thought here is that the name that we're referencing as the proper, as the correct name, we don't want it confused with any other name or diluted by any name that would cause confusion. So in that regard, I would clearly include contamination and non-contamination. To give an example, most of us are familiar with contamination in the natural. What happens, and I'm just throwing this question out for consideration, what happens if you have a good barrel of apples and you throw one bad apple in? That one bad apple has the potential of contaminating the entire barrel. And that's why it's important with respect to the name recognition not to have it allowed to be confused with another name, because we don't want the name of the Republic contaminated by way of some other organization that would not stand for the same or similar principles. So I would suggest the law of contamination would be one that could be come under that particular article, along with others.
I agree. I also think the law of corruption might come into play too, because the Republic is trying to separate themselves from the corporation, or has, and is just declaring that they are separate. So that kind of helps out too.
And the law of corruption would apply.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anyone else like to talk about the Article 7 and the laws of life? Floor is open. All right. Hearing none, I guess we'll go to Article 8.
We, the Congress of the Republic for the United States of America, assembled in the presence of the Almighty Creator, do hereby accept, adopt, and establish a post office as our means of distributing the Republic's mail and conducting international commerce among the nations of the world. The location on the land of the Republic for the United States of America, seat of government, is 6901 Portage Road, Portage, Michigan, near 49002, in brackets. The name of our post office will be Post Office of the Republic for the United States of America. We hereby establish a Postmaster General position and sanction the development of this postal service within our borders. We reserve the right to use any existing postal service, whether directly or indirectly, publicly funded or partially publicly funded, as our postal service, and all of the employees, buildings, facilities, vehicles, equipment, and supplies to carry out mail services to local people within the territorial borders of our nation. We, the...
All right, that was another short one as well, 8. What would you say about that, Dr. Mosley?
Real quickly, delegation of authority, accountability, and responsibility. Those two would fit, and I'm certain there would be a few others that could, but those two primarily. And this is not specifically a different law of life, but also that could be put into this particular category would be the law of organization, which falls under a higher law, but that's the concept also that could be incorporated under this article, that of organization, which comes under accountability and responsibility.
Yes, sir. I agree. Any of the representatives have any thing to say about Article 8? The floor is open.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
This is Representative Brenner from the Free State of Kentucky. How do you spell the address, the name? It's 69. What's the street?
This one
is. Yeah, let's see here. Let me find it. 9002, is that what you're looking for? Or is, no, 690 Portage Road, Portage, Michigan. And it's near 9002.
You said 69 something. I thought it sounded I thought it started with an H.
Might be 6901. It's hard to tell. I think it's 6901. That
how do you
was,
spell the street?
That was an address that was Portage Road. That was an address that was done in 2010. I can't say for sure that that building is still functioning for that reason today. But this document was written in 2010. So, and there's a lot that happened between then and now. So I can check on that, see if it's an actual, it's still actually there. I don't think it was ever actually the post office. To the best of my recollection, anyway, is actually being used as that. I think the building was reserved for it. And that's all I know right
so
now
it
about
was
that.
6901 Portage, P-O-R-T-A-G-E.
Road, yep. Portage, Michigan.
Huh. Okay.
That might be one
but
that
we
has
don't
to
actually...
change.
Do we actually have an address?
Not that I'm aware of at this present time. No. We were going to have, I think the plan was to have our own post office parallel to the corporate post office and then assimilate in as the corporation left. But I think the plan might be a little different today, in my personal opinion.
If you put 6901 Portage Road into maps, it does come up.
Okay.
It's a post office.
There's a picture of it a little bit later on in the examples of the DSI, or the examples of the proclamation, I mean. There's a picture of it. I don't know how accurate is it today, but there's a picture. That's all I know.
And your PO, your box number, it's Republic with an R, capital R? Or is it all lowercase?
I don't know about that. Because it's not in this legislation, the postage, the box number you're talking about. So...
It says the name of our post office will be, in quotation, Post Office of the Republic, capital R, for the United States of America.
Okay.
End quote.
Okay. Is United, is that U capitalized or is it lowercase?
Lowercase.
Lower.
And how about states? Is the S capitalized or lowercase?
States and America is both capitalized.
Okay.
The way I've taught myself how to say it is Republic for the United States of America, because the United is an expression of the States of America. It's explaining it.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. It makes it more real.
Okay. Do you yield, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay, very good. I would say that the law of service might come into play for that Article 8, and possibly
yes.
The law of confirmation, too, and provision, a lot of provision, because you're providing a service and something that people need.
Yes.
Yep.
Hey, Mark, Strong Free State of Connecticut. I also have a question.
Sure.
It says that we have a Postmaster General position. Is that position filled?
I believe I saw that there is a Postmaster or Postmaster General that has been just got his appointment letter. So he hasn't been sworn in yet. So officially no, but unofficially yes.
Thank you.
And there'll be further announcements on that later, I think. You're welcome. Anyone else about Article 8? Okay. Let's move on to Article 9, then.
Congress of the Republic for the United States of America, assembled in the presence of the Almighty Creator, do hereby accept, adopt, and establish a nation treasury and nation bank system. This treasury will be called the Treasury of the Republic for the United States of America and will be referred to as the Republic Treasury. The Republic Treasury and banks will operate on an established value backed by substance of gold or silver and any other precious metals, copper and other semi-precious metals, minerals, deposits, oil, coal, uranium, food, land, air, water, natural resources, or any other commodity of real value as needed to fund the nation treasury and nation bank system. The people reserve the right to use any currently existing treasury or banks within the territorial borders which are directly or indirectly funded or partially funded within the public funds or assets originated from the people within the territorial borders. We hereby reserve the power to design, print, and coin money that will be backed by the commodities of our nation as referenced above. We hereby, with this bill, declare it to be unlawful for any Federal Reserve System bank, member bank, associate bank, or treasury to operate within our borders or hypothecate upon our assets without the express written consent by a three-fourths majority vote of the Republic for the United States of America. Violation of this law will be a criminal act and will be punishable by our laws. We, the Congress.
All right, we're getting closer. That was 9. Dr. Mosley, would you like to expound on the laws of life for 9, please?
Well, we have delegability also, accountability and responsibility, and we certainly have notice and warning, along with some others, but those three I would suggest are predominant in that particular article.
Yes, sir. I agree. I think the law of provision goes in there too as well, but those are the ones I had.
Provision,
anyway.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And keeping in mind that each of these laws of life, Representative Bynum, that we've mentioned, has scriptural support, Old Testament and New Testament, in order for us to refer to it as a law of life. And as I've said previously, oftentimes hundreds of scriptures will come together to establish each of these laws of life. So it's not as though we're pulling one scripture that we're relying upon for these laws of life. It's a body of scripture that comes together that establishes each of these laws of life.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The floor is open for any other comments from representatives. I think it's good. They're talking about asset-backed currencies. That's always good to do. All right, let's go on and play 10 then.
Congress of the Republic for the United States of America, assembled in the presence of the Almighty Creator, do hereby accept, adopt, and establish a law that makes it a criminal act for any agency, representative, officer, agent, contractor, subcontractor, debt collector, or any other person or entity representing the United States corporate government to collect any tax within our territorial borders or from any of our people within the territorial borders without express written consent by a three-fourths majority vote of the members of the Republic for the United States of America. All taxes collected henceforth will be used to fund the Republic for the United States of America for the benefit of the people of our Republic. All agencies of the United States corporate government shall immediately cease or cause to cease assessment and collections of any internal revenue and internal revenue service, taxes or any derivative thereof, sales taxes, highway and road taxes, import or export taxes, property taxes, tolls, permit fees, fines for offense of any type, prison bonds, any revenue from prisoners or any other type of tax, fee, permit, license fee, or fine from any person, citizen, resident, alien, corporation, business, firm, or any other entity within our territorial borders. Any violation of this law will be a criminal act and will be punishable by the laws of this republic.
That's a mouthful. Dr. Mosley, your commentary on that, sir?
Well, certainly we have notice and warning, and we have song and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That applies to an individual, a group, business, and even a nation. So the law of notice and warning, God says, I'll do nothing unless I first inform my people. And people, of course, would make reference to believers, but warnings, notice and warnings also extend beyond the believing community, non-believers, because God is gracious and merciful enough to even give non-believers a notice and a warning of what he would do or what he would intend to do in a given situation. Also making those who would violate the instructions, they would also be under, as we all are, under the law of sowing and reaping. And scripture that's referenced a little while ago in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, whatever nation soweth, whatever group soweth, I'm including some things here, that it shall also reap. I yield.
Yes, sir. That's definitely good advice. And I would also add the law of overstepping, because if you don't heed the notice of warning and you overstep, you're going to come across that law as well.
Correct.
Yes, sir. Any of the representatives like to make a comment or ask a question about Section 10?
Yes, this is Representative Robin Cox. I have a question about Section 10.
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
Does that include state taxes? Or not? State income tax?
That includes any internal revenue. I think the state taxes might be on the state itself, but that would fall probably under your state constitution or your state legislator. But right at the moment, the United States all capital corporation, and I guess the states are at this time affiliates of the United States corporation, because they are corporations under themselves as well. And that would also be under the county and under the cities as well. They're all corporations of the all capital letter United States corporation. So I would think once the United States all capital corporation has to cease doing it, the rest of them would have to as well.
Okay.
Without a deep dive in it, I believe that's the way it's going to go. Does that answer your question?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I yield.
Anyone else?
This is
Representative David Schmidt. Go ahead.
This is Representative Brenner from the Free State of Kentucky.
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
Can we listen to this again?
Yeah, it's on the World Republic websites.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because this is a lot to take in.
Oh, I agree. So you could listen to it, and you could have it on your computer while you're listening to it, and you could go through it, and you could stop it, and you can go over it. You could look up words. And while we're talking about looking up words, the best dictionary to use for looking up words from documents for the Republic, unless otherwise specified, or any of the Founding Fathers documents, is the Webster's 1828 Dictionary. And you can get a hard copy, or there's an electronic version as well.
Well, I have a hard copy.
Very good, ma'am.
I have a hard copy.
Very good. And don't let the all capital words in that dictionary throw you too much. It's just kind of the way they did it back then. So to answer your question, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Representative Schmidt, you have the floor, sir.
Yep, thank you. Another law I would think would apply also the law of contamination, because the agencies or whatever that they're collecting the revenue that they're contaminating the know, by doing it unlawfully, they're contaminating the financial resources of the government entities, or like be like the U.S. Treasury or the state treasury or whatever, that their resources are being contaminated when it's done in an unlawful or dishonest way, and with that a yield.
Yes, sir. Very good. Anyone else like to have a question or may want to make a comment on Article 10?
Representative Akey has a question.
Yes, sir. You have the floor.
It's my understanding there that we are trying to eliminate the corporate constitution. Yet in this particular article, I believe the word corporation was mentioned twice. Is that the reference in this article? Is that for a corporation such as a business, or is that somehow related to the corporation Congress? Or not Congress, but Constitution.
Do you yield, sir?
Yes, I yield.
Okay. I believe it is the United States corporate government is what this is talking to, and their affiliates, like the Internal Revenue Service, talking about them as well. And you can tell they're in all capital letters, definitely showing that they are a corporation. And, of course, we know they're not a government, they are only the color of government. They're masquerading as a government, if you will. So I hope that answers your question, sir.
Yes, I'm just trying to get the word corporation down. I yield.
Yes, sir. Anyone else? Floor is open. All right. Let's see if we can get Article 11 down here.
We, the Congress for the United States of America, assembled in the presence of the Almighty Creator, do hereby accept, adopt, and establish a law that declares it a criminal act for any agency, representative, officer, agent, contractor, subcontractor, debt collector, or any other person or entity representing the United States corporate government or any other entity to collect any unlawful debt within our territorial borders or from any of our people within our territorial borders without lawful proof of claim. All debts collected henceforth will require lawful proof of claim at the request of the debtor. In case of dispute, a forensic audit of the bank, creditor, or lending institution's records will be required to prove that money of in fact loaned to the debtor. This audit will be completed at the expense of the corporation, agency, business, firm, contractor, or debt collector who is attempting collection of said debt. This includes any alleged debt by any corporation, agency, business, firm, contractor, debt collector, or any other entity within our territorial borders. Any violation of this law will be a criminal act and punishable by the laws of this republic. This law only applies to the people who have joined the Republic and those who trespass against our laws within our territorial borders. No one shall be forced to join the Republic.
All right. Your comment on that one, Dr. Mosley, with 50 Laws of Life.
Yeah, well, as we can see, we have duplications of certain laws almost in each of the articles. And again, we have accountability and responsibility, delegability, non-delegability, notice and warrant, so on and everything, and several others.
Yes, sir, I would agree. I was thinking the law of forfeiture might be in there as well.
It would apply, that is correct.
They're definitely giving up something there. And accountability and responsibility, they'd be on the negative side of that, and we would hopefully be on the positive side of the Republic of that.
Yes.
So, any questions or comments from any of the representatives? Floor is open.
And Representative Binder, if I may, you have the floor just for a minute.
Yes, sir. You have the floor.
And just because the representatives, especially new representatives, understand we do not expect them to be knowledgeable to the extent that they would recognize these embedded laws of life as you and I are and a few others in the Republic there, because we've been studying and operating under these laws of life, hopefully on the positive side, for a number of years. I've been teaching the laws of life for over 30 years. So it comes by certainly study, but also by way of revelation. And as the members become more familiar with these laws of life and how they apply, then it will make much more sense to them as they come across these laws of life. And if time permits, I just want to give a few quick examples in that regard. The laws of life are even better than sports. Every sporting event that you watch, that's physical, not necessarily spiritual, but in some instances, some spiritual. But there's some physical and spiritual laws of life in every sport. That's in music. There's some laws of life embedded in the music that we listen to. Airplanes and swimming. There are some natural and physical laws that are involved, because that airplane has to overcome the law of gravity by using thrust and force and whatever other aerodynamic laws that have to be used in order for that airplane to get off the ground. A boat floating on water, there are certain laws of buoyancy that boat must adhere to in order to stay afloat. The same thing with the person who's swimming. They have to come in agreement with the law of lift and the law of buoyancy in order to overcome the law of gravity. Automobiles, in order to function properly, the mechanical aspect of that automobile has to be in line with certain laws in order for that automobile to run and run properly. Your computer, the law of song and reason. You can't get anything out of that computer other than what you put into the computer. TVs, frequencies, so forth and so on. There will come a time, as with Representative Binder, in which he has a grasp of these laws, right? There will come a time that you will see laws of life in every aspect of life, whether they're natural, physical, and or spiritual. With that, I yield.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. And also, another way to look at it as well is the Republic is founded on the law of nature and nature's God, and the 50 laws of life help to bring that out, you know, in the actions that we do and the laws that we write and the acts that we put in. Is it under the law of nature and nature's God, or is it under something else?
Yeah.
It is a lot for representatives to have to come in and read two books and learn about the laws of life and all that together, but hopefully it'll start meshing together here pretty soon. So it's definitely a work in progress. It's a study. We're all on different levels here. Absolutely. And we have to help each other out as best we can.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Any questions from the representatives? Floor is open.
I have a question. On the last two lines of 11, does this law only apply to people who have joined the Republic, and then no one shall be forced to join the Republic? So if people didn't want to join the Republic, then are they part of USA Incorporated, or is there something else?
Well, that's a good question. I think that you have to observe, the reason why it's in there is you have to observe people's free will. You know what I mean? God won't do anything unless he has your free will. You know, if your free will is in mind of it. And I think probably that it's giving people a choice. You can't make people join the Republic, at least not in the interim position, while there are two choices. You have to give people choices. I think once they learn all the benefits that are from joining the Republic, they will not want to pay income tax and property tax and all these taxes to fund a large government that doesn't need all that funding, that abuses the privileges and everything. I think that a few other events that might come to play, in my opinion. A couple other events that might come into play, and the Republic is more widely known. I think many people want to join the Republic. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Do my best. Any other questions from representatives or comments? Floor is open. All right. Let's do the last one here, Article 12.
We do hereby abolish all authority of the corporation, United States, or any of its principals, agencies, corporations, contractors, subcontractors, employees, officers, and representatives of any kind to operate within our borders, to carry out any function or operate in any capacity without the express written consent by a three-fourths majority vote of a lawful quorum of this Congress. We do not validate or consent to any ultra vires acts, superior foreign powers, or omissions of the United States, or any of its principals, agencies, subcorporations, contractors, subcontractors, employees, officers, or representatives. Number of voting state republics, 36. Number of voting members, 287. Number of yes votes, 287. Number of no votes, 0. Passed, yes. We.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. One more little bit here. Apologize for that.
The Congress of the people on the land of the Republic for the United States of America convened in assembly on the 14th of November 2010 hereby place our mark below by absolute autograph by 35 member republics for the United States of America.
And there you have the end of the DSI. Dr. Mosley, would you like to weigh in on this, sir?
Well, just briefly. Certainly you have authority. You have delegability and non-delegability. And we have the law of agreement.
Yes, sir.
Along with others.
I agree. And as always, the law of notice and warning, too, I think.
Correct.
All right, well, the floor is open. Any representatives like to make a comment or ask a question about the 12th article and the rest of it? Floor is open. All right. Well, hearing none, then I guess we can move on to the next order of business here. I want to thank you very much, Dr. Moses, for coming on here and helping us see the law of the 50 laws of life and the law of nature and nature's guide and how it's working through the Republic and in the documents that we have, and giving us a better understanding of those documents. And thank you so much for coming on board, sir.
Thank you for allowing me to participate.
Yes, sir. And thank you for sharing the wisdom that the Lord put upon your heart as well.
I receive it. Thank you again, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. Next, we can open the floor for discussion on whatever you have to bring that is beneficial to the Republic. It could be about, or not limited to, the Republic documents, past Republic legislation, House rules and procedure, current events, or whatever truth you want to share with the House. Please remember that any documents that you want to read on the House floor need to be approved by the House admin first and then to get passed to the representatives for study before coming on the meeting. And please remember that others will listen to this call later. So, the floor is open for whatever you would like to discuss that's beneficial to the Republic. All right. I just wanted to mention that I think it would be a good idea if we continued on with the exhibits, so Exhibit 2 through the end, because there's the Flag Act is in there, and how the governors were served. Those documents were in there as well. I don't think we need to read them all, but I think it would be a good idea to discuss it and maybe read some parts of it, if that would be agreeable to the House. Please let me know. You want to do something else? That's okay, too. Now is your time.
This is Representative Robin Cox. I agree with that.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else like to make a comment or ask a question about that? All right. Well, unless something else is brought up, I will just proceed for that for next time. I also wanted to put together a list of the legislation that the first Congress passed so that you would have an idea of what was done, being as I already made the statement that the first Congress passed all the amendments and all the acts that need to be done to stand up the Republic. Maybe you'd like to know what those are. So I plan on having a list for those of you for next time. We can go over that as well. Anyone else like to bring something else to the floor? All right. Well, hearing nothing, I'd like to entertain a motion for us to adjourn and reconvene on Tuesday, March 3rd at 8 p.m. Central Time.
This is Representative Robin Cox. I move that we adjourn for tonight and reconvene on, Tuesday the 3rd of March or the 4th of March? Anyways, it's Tuesday, the 3rd or 4th of March, 2025 at 8 p.m. Central Time. I yield.
Yep.
There's Representative David Schmidt seconding the motion to adjourn until March 4th. And was that a yield?
Whoa. Let me check that real quick here. Oh, you're right. 3-4. Okay, I'm sorry. I stand corrected. All right, we've got a motion and a second to reconvene on Tuesday, March 4th at 8 p.m. Central Time. Thank you, Representatives. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Nay. All right. We will adjourn and reconvene on March 4th at 8 p.m. Central Time. And before we adjourn, would someone like to close us in prayer?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I'd like to do that.
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
Dear Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we freely admit that we need your help, Lord, in all things. We need you at all times. We need you to help us to run this government because we cannot run it without you. And, Lord, we ask that you would, be with our country, Lord. We ask that you would be with our republic, Lord God. And we ask that we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every representative and every senator. And we pray your angelic hedge of protection around this republic. Lord, I ask that you keep our nation out of World War III. Lord, let there be no nuclear strikes, Lord Jesus. And that you would confound every effort by the deep state to try to drag us into World War III. Confound their efforts. Confound the efforts to assassinate key leaders and that would help our nation. Lord, and I ask that you would, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I ask that you would fight for Israel and protect Israel. And Lord, the 73 remaining hostages, Lord, I ask that you would bring healing and comfort and peace and hope to those hostages, and that you would cause Hamas to release every one of those hostages in a timely manner, Lord God. And Lord, that you would, eradicate all of the terrorists that are attacking Israel, Lord, and Lord, that you would cause President Zelensky to be at peace and to want to negotiate with peace with Russia, and Lord, that you would cause the deep state to stop using Zelensky to talk war with Russia and Putin, and Lord, I ask that you would protect your people, protect the people of North Carolina, that you would help the people of North Carolina and Los Angeles and Southern California, that you would comfort those people, that have lost loved ones and relatives, that have lost homes and businesses and property, that you would comfort them and bring peace and comfort and healing and hope to those people. Lord, that you would provide food and water, medicine, shelter, clothing for them, that you would protect them from any more losses, that you would provide for every need that they have. And Lord, that you would protect your people all over this country from famine and pestilence, and Lord, from floods and fire, tornadoes, hurricanes, and every other foul phenomenon. Lord God, protect them from terrorism and violence. I rebuke the spirit of violence and terrorism and chaos in this country. And Lord, that you would protect us and give us and cover every senator and every representative in this republic and every leader in this republic, and bring us back safely to the legislative session on March 4. And in Jesus' name we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you. Well, thank you for coming, attending the call tonight. If anyone would like to stay on after the call, ask questions, or needs help with getting on the Wire app, please do so. I'll hang on for a little while. Hi, everybody.
Okay, thank you.
God bless.
Good night.
Have a good night, everybody.